Lord, as we stand here in your presence, Lord God, Lord, what a privilege it is to know you, Lord God, and to, like many centuries before, Lord God, as Christians have worshipped you, Lord God, that we can stand here, Lord God, this morning and thank you for the year that has passed, Lord God, and with expectation in our hearts, look forward to the new year, Lord. Father, the year that we passed, Lord, wasn't the perfect one, Lord, and we acknowledge, Lord, this morning that we are neither perfect, and that the year that's ahead, Lord, that it won't be a perfect one as well, Lord God. But Father, what we know is that the God we serve is almighty, and that you are perfect, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, many, many centuries ago, Lord God, that you have started the stopwatch to this world, Lord God, that you have created things, Lord. And Father, it's in your hand, Lord, to stop the time as well, Lord God, when things will come to an end, Lord God. And Father, as we stand here in the middle of time in many ways, Father, as we've heard this morning, that no matter how big or small it is, that we can make a difference, Lord God. That we can go out, whether we reach 1 or 10 or 10,000 people, it matters for you, Lord God. And that you'll prepare our hearts accordingly, Lord God. And yes, Father, at certain moments or times when we might not expect it or be prepared or feel prepared, Lord, like that lady, Dr. Hijo, Lord God, that we can pray for someone, that the life might be saved, Lord God. That we will be ready and we will be open, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, we just as a church this morning, Lord, together with many churches around our nation, around the globe, Lord, we come and stand in humility, Lord God, because in our own strength, we are so weak and fragile, Lord God. But when we look to you, Lord God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, then we become useful, Lord God, that you can use us, Lord. And Father, you just want us to say yes, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, we sometimes want to interpret the future by looking back at the past, Lord God. And yes, Lord, there's many lessons to be learned from history, Lord God. But none of us know what the day of tomorrow will hold, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that you do know, and you know where you want to guide us and take us. We pray a blessing over this year, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, when the giants are big, Lord God, or the waves might be huge, that we will know, Lord God, that you will not necessarily take that away, but that we will know, Lord Jesus, that you are in our boat, and that you are bigger than those giants or the waves, Lord God. And that we can rest in that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Seems that my name is Carl Waltz, I'm the pastor. It's good to have you guys here. I know one or two of us still needs to get our first haircut for the year, or get used to wearing long pants again after the holiday, or maybe to speak English again, whatever it might be. Nevertheless, it's good to see you guys. Welcome to the house. And as I said, we don't know what this year will hold for us. But we know that the God we serve is a big God and a mighty God. And it's awesome to start off by, you know, having testimonies as we had before. Just to see that God saves, that God is powerful, God is mighty, and that we can go out this year with that in our hearts. I think I had the privilege to stay at home this holiday. That means I'm well rested. I made the mistake the previous year to go on holiday to South Africa, and I came back tired. So if you went away on holiday and you came back tired, stay at home next year and have a well rest. And may this be a wonderful year to all of you. I know there's a few babies. It's Warrior's birthday as well. Warrior, just clap hands for our friend Warrior. Then, you know, coming back to the holidays, I had the privilege and some time to read. And whether it's a financial magazine or an agricultural magazine or whatever it might be, everyone wants to predict the future. Or what will 2015 have for us? Whether it's the oil price, whether it's finances, whether it's the crops, the prices of this or that. If you intend of buying a house this year, you'll probably look at the interest rates. If you're in the tourism industry, you will look at the global economy. And there's pros and cons and this and that. And many people
wil 'n hand waag en probeer dink wat die nuwe jaar mag inhou. But as I said, I think last year had a lot of surprises for us. Any of you, probably, if I look back at my diary or my journal of last year, I have to say there was quite a few surprises, big and bad and good, and we have to live with those. It's something we can't predict, but we can figure out a few things. It was really nice the past week to put diesel in my car and really pay you know, a bit less. That is really nice. So you can make a few calculations, but I just have in my heart for us, you know, as we start this year, as families, as Christians, as a church, that we don't know what this year holds. And I'll share a little bit regarding that this morning. If things go bad this year, really bad, then usually the church becomes bigger. I remember when I was a student at Stellenbosch, the times when the church were at its fullest was exam times, because then everyone had a good reason to go to church, especially the guys that didn't work so hard and really trust God for a miracle. The guys who really worked hard, they just went to relax and get the heads fresh and to worship. The first scripture I want to share with you this morning is from Proverbs 25, verse 2. And it says, "It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. God has perfect knowledge, wisdom, and understanding." You know, God knows our hearts, He knows our thoughts, He knows about this year, about the future. And it's our job, in a sense, as kings and normal people, to discover and to go and hear from God. Where do you need to work in your life this year? I don't want to preach a feel-good sermon and 10 tips to have a better year or anything like that. It just seems, if I look to the recent events in France, and as I preached last year one time, global military spending, people just seems to hate each other more and more every year. I don't know how much progress we are making. If anyone is hating me or someone next to you, we'll pray for you afterwards. It's really important that we as Christians live a life of let our light shine, that people in the world can see that we serve a God of reconciliation. But nevertheless, I think if we start and we just, I'm not going to do it, but run through the Old Testament very fast. You've read it, most of you have read it many times. You will know the recurring event of people crying out to God, usually first misbehaving, sinning, missing the mark, whatever it might be. And then it comes to a place of crying out to God. The people cried out to God for help, for deliverance, whatever it might be, and then God redeeming His people. We serve a God that hears our hearts, He hears our cries. And as for us as a church this year, I believe firstly, and most importantly, the first announcement said, our intercession starts next week, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. And that's where we just as a church, you know, there won't happen a lot if we don't pray. We come together and we say, God, where to right now? There's a lot of structure that we do have, but we always have to listen to God and to hear and sense together what the Father wants to say to His church, to His children. But we know that we can rest on that thing, that when we cry out to God, whether it's for advice, for counsel, for deliverance, whatever it might be, that we can see from Scripture that we have a God that listens to our hearts. We know we've got a God that saves. We know a long time ago, the Hebrew slaves, they cried out for deliverance. The yoke in Egypt were heavy upon their backs and the whips and everything, you know. These days, I have the privilege of watching scripture with my children on children's DVDs, and then you sometimes see things from a different perspective. It's really nice. But we will, as an example, read here in Numbers 20, verse 16. "We cried out to the Lord. He heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt." And it's just that place. We can see right from the start the people crying out to God. And I think we, in many ways, at the start of the year, maybe your family, maybe your marriage, maybe your business, whatever you do in life, and definitely for us as Christians in a church, we need to cry out to God. I think in Namibia, we are privileged to live reasonably good lives. We're not fighting a war. It's not a civil war. Yes, there's things that bother and aren't perfect, but we've got so much to be thankful for. It was such a privilege last year to end off the year and to hear from many of you guys to stand here and to testify about the goodness of God. God working in our lives, not something I've dictated to you to say, but something that but that you guys said from your hearts. And it's the same God that we are still serving right on to today. So guys, we need to come to our Father, we need to cry out. And the wonderful thing is, sometimes we're at a good place. You want to thank God, and you can still cry out to God and speak to our Father. And sometimes, or very often, we're at a tight place, at a hard place, and then we can still cry out to God. And guess what? Even people who don't believe in the God, as many of us do, can still cry out to God, and God's ears aren't closed, Scripture says. We read here in a Joel chapter 2, verse 32. It's quoted in Acts 2. In Romans 10, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord might be saved. We know that every person, when we are born in sin. None of us are born Christians. We need to make that decision. And sometimes, somewhere in our lives, we need to cry out to God. And whether you are a, let's say, a perfect Christian. I think the video clip said stuff like that doesn't exist. I totally agree. But just to use it as a metaphor maybe, or whether you're at a bad place. Maybe you haven't spoken to God in a week, a month, or a year. But when you cry out to God, we've got a Father that will listen to us. That's what Scripture tells us. Something most of the parents in the house, people will know and understand that sometimes children have a way of nagging. Mine are 6 years, the twins are 6 years old, and my little girl are 4 years old. And sometimes they will ask you something. Dad, can I get a dog? Dad, can I have a quad bike? Or whatever it might be. And you'll say no. And then a few hours later or a day later, Dad, but can't I have that dog? Or can't I have this? Or can't I have that? And we as parents, you know, and that's part of raising children, we grow fed up sometimes when they say, can I, and this, and you want to tell them, I have told you it's a no, and then you have to deal with that situation. But you know what? When we pray and we ask our Father, Lord, I pray for that family member. I pray for that breakthrough. God our Father doesn't grow tired of our prayers. In fact, He encourages it. Sometimes you pray for a year or a few years. There's stuff that I've been praying for more than a decade that hasn't come to pass. But I still trust God that in His time and season that things will happen. We read here in Luke 11, and I'm not going to read the part on Scripture. Luke 11, verse 5 to 13, you can go and read at home. It's that parable that Jesus, regarding praying, He shares with us about the man going to his neighbor or his friend, knocking at the door at night, asking for bread. But you know, usually when the dogs bark at night and it's 3 o'clock, you don't really want to wake up, or whether it's June and it's cold. And that's not a nice thing to stand up from your sleep. But this parable is about Jesus actually encouraging us to keep on, to be persistent, not to give up. Many times, you thought like, maybe God, you don't hear my voice. Maybe you don't hear my cry. Maybe it will never happen, God, so I'm just going to leave it. Or God, maybe you're not even out there, or maybe I don't matter. I'm just a number out there of 7 billion people or whatever. But that's not the truth. Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent and to keep on praying, to be faithful. Sometimes you will pray, let me put it now in the right words, for something in the flesh. God, I want a new car. That's not aimed against anyone. That's not wrong necessarily. But sometimes you will pray for a person's salvation. God will lay it on your heart. That person at your job or work, at school or wherever it might be, your hair salon, God will lay it on your heart to intercede for that person, to pray for that person. And maybe it doesn't happen in month 2 or 5 or 10 or after a year or two, but we need to persist. So we need to start by asking God. He knows about tomorrow. He knows about what He has for us as a church, as a nation. The Father knows. And then we need to be persistent about that. Don't let go if that what you are trusting God for doesn't happen just like very quickly. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Now, I don't watch a lot of movies. I really don't. I think I've watched now 3 movies in the past. No, it's a new year. Last year, probably. I didn't watch a lot of movies, and all 3 of them were in the December holidays. And one of the things I've been reading in my own quiet time, I've been studying the book of Revelation once again, just because it's so complicated and just because it's so important to us. Because we know where Scripture started. We know where everything started. Not exactly always, but Scripture gives us an indication where God started with us as humanity. And Scripture tells us very clearly where everything will end. Once again, we don't know exactly, but it seems to be, if we look at all the prophecies, that we are somewhere closer to the end than rather the beginning. But so we know how things will end. But here in the middle somewhere, where we find ourselves now, there's a huge battle. And, you know, I tend to like movies with a few guns in and a little bit of war and stuff like that. And just by watching that once again, I just saw how much hatred there is in this world, how much violence there is. You know, I think when we are small boys, we all want to be firemen or policemen or soldiers until we grow up and we think like, or we see around the world what wars bring with it. People being hurt, killed, little children. And it's really tough. It's really bad. And I want to read to you this morning because when we know where we are going in life, it makes our aims, our goals, our priorities a bit easier. If you know you need to move your house right now, then you need to order, well, you need a new place to move to, a truck, a company that will help you, all those type of things. And we as Christians, we know how things will end. And I think when we look at how things will end, it sometimes, or hopefully every time, will motivate us for where we stand right now. I want to read to you this morning from Revelation 19, verse 19 to 21. One or two of these parts will not be on the big screen. I apologize. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Now, just if you look at that picture, it's Jesus and his armies making war against the enemies. But if it was a Hollywood movie, it would be very boring one maybe. Because where the war scenes are long and very graphic, this one will also be very graphic, but it's over in probably like a second. Because there's not going to be a fight. Jesus and his armies are just going to win. And now, if you look at this part of Scripture, it really becomes complicated because there's lots of different schools of thought how all these things are interact. And I'm not going to get myself an Afrikaans protos van steekgras. If that thing gets in your socks, you've got a problem. Who had it in your socks somewhere in your life? It's a problem. If you're a child and you go to your mom with that stuff, your mom is almost going to say to you, what did you do? Where have you been? Because that stuff is bad. Now, if we continue a little bit, and I'm going to read quite a part of Scripture here this morning, but it's to prepare our hearts for the assignment we as a church and Christians have. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. I'm skipping a part there. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I'm going to skip to Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. And when 1,000 years ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. I can't really pronounce that. Gog and Gog and Magog. I don't know. The English version, to gather them for battle, their numbers is like the sea of the sand. Now, the thing that I want to hear, and there's a lot of different schools of thought regarding the 1,000-year reign, and that's the part that I don't want to get into. But if you listen carefully, He's locked up for 1,000 years not to deceive the nations. Now, for 1,000 years, do you know how long time that is? If it's literally. And then he will be released for a little while, and then he will deceive the nations once again, gather all the armies to fight against God once again. Do you hear that part? He's for 1,000 years, he's locked up, he can't deceive. Now, I'm not sure how that thing is going to work exactly, but then he's released for a little while, and his old tricks stays the same. He deceived the nations once again. And we need to ask ourselves, where are you going to, this? You can preach a sermon on this thing, are you going to be the eaten or the eater? What part of this thing are you going to be part of? Let me continue a little bit to verse 9. Then you can listen with me. And they march up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they have done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they have done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now this is a picture, and it's sometimes for us difficult to understand because it's prophetic, it's for the end time, it's for something that we can't yet see or experience. There's a lot of different schools of thought, as I said, regarding many things. But if you're a Christian and you believe in Scripture, we know that Scripture is true. We've seen all the prophecies about Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, rising from the dead, where it came to pass. And this is how things are going to end. And as I said, we know the beginning, we know the end. But we've got an assignment, we've got a job as Christians, not just to find your name in the book of life, but we've got a calling to see that people around us, people in this world, in this nation, in the city, that their names will also be one day in that book of life. Okay? And that's called the Great Commission. It's going Matthew 28, go out to the nations and make disciples. And that is where we find ourselves, preaching the gospel. That's why we have church. It's not just to worship or to give something or hear a testimony or to go to children's church. We've got a mandate. We've got something that God the Father has for us. We've got right now, this year, this week, this day, we've got the opportunity to make a difference. A difference. Life is not right now. This is only, what's the word? It's only temporary life. Real life is going to be eternal. Let's read with me in Revelation 21, verse 1 to 5. I've read it so many times in my life. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. The sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. That's what God said to the Israelites when he took him out of Egypt. When he walked with him, he said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And that is the things in life what we can look forward to. There's a lot of questions you can ask me or practically any Christian, any theologian, any scholar. And we can just try and interpret what Scripture is telling us. But what we know is things will come to an end. there will be a judgment where every person's life will be judged. And you will either be standing before God as a son in relationship with him, or as someone the Father will say, who are you? I don't know you. Now, people don't just become Christians themselves. God chose to yoke with us. I almost want to say stupid people. Because if you read the newspapers, we are stupid. We mess up so much. We hurt each other so much. But in this chaos of this world we're living right in, with hatred seems to be growing every year, we as the church are called to make a difference. And we need to ask God, Father, what do you have for me this year? You can pray with your husband, with your small group facilitator, with me, but you need to hear from God. I can't tell you exactly what God has for you. You need to go and sit still, and the Father will reveal it step by step. So, friends, we are in this privileged situation of knowing how things will end, and we can make a difference here in the middle, in this war zone that we are in. Eternal life will actually be when things begin. According to the translations, this New Jerusalem, I can't give you the standard, what it's in Scripture, I can't remember it, but it's about 2,200 by 2,200 kilometers. Now my mind is running, and I think, like, God, how is that going to look like? That means it's about somewhere there from Tumip up to Cape Town, and then to Botswana. Now, I don't know. No, but if you go and study this Scripture, you'll see this new world. That's a place where you really want to be. That's a place where you want to spend eternity, and that's something always breaking our minds, something that we can't really comprehend or understand. If you haven't receive our Shofar Global newsletter, the one that was sent here about the middle of December. I think many of you were on holiday probably. It's Pastor Fred, our senior pastor in Stellenbosch, Pastor Fred May, writing, I think, one of the longest devotionals in a very, very long time to us, to all of us. And I just want to quote one or two parts from that newsletter, because that's where we are standing right now. That's the platform, and we are looking forward to the work we as a church need to do. And he started by saying just like that we were really in a storm last year. Last year was a tough, tough year, and we need to talk about it. It took a toll on many relationships. It was challenging. But you know, once again, when we look at what we call a storm in our midst, and you ask the guys in the Middle East, the Christians there, they will probably tell you, guys, it's small waves. Relax, it's not that bad. Because where they live, life looks a lot different with ISIS and these guys fighting fights and big wars today. So I want to read to you a quote, and it's not on there. If you haven't received the newsletter, please speak to me afterwards. I'll just forward it to you. He said, "We've come to times where after many centuries of dark veiled secrets, a spontaneous exposing of what Isaiah called total darkness has begun. For those who have eyes to see the coming to light of entrenched systematic wickedness on the one hand and rampant moral decay on the other is deeply disquieting." Now, I've said it before, but my father, I think he's older than most, if anyone in church here, he said when he was in the middle 1950s in Gubabis, in the primary school, the naughtiest thing they did was to stole the headmaster's watermelon from his garden. Okay, that was quite serious. That was like a big crime. Now, I think many parents today think, if only my 16-year-old boy would steal a watermelon. If that's the worst thing he can do, I can live with that. Okay, things have changed. Life did move on very fast the past generation or two. Isaiah prophesies concerning these perilous times are becoming an ominous reality and at the same time a precious source of encouragement and hope. I want to read you Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 5. That's the part that Pastor Fred also quoted. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you.
Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance. Raise your eyes and look around. They all gather and come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters will be carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will tremble and rejoice, because the riches of the sea will become yours, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. And Isaiah is prophesying there about this total darkness, but there's also this glory on the other hand. People where we live, where we can see the moral decay, the violence, nothing new under the sun really, but just really bad on the one hand. And on the other hand, we see, like in this testimony at the start of the church service, where people are revived, raised from the dead, where people get healed. We had last year, I can still tell testimonies of the men's camp we had. It was really a blessing. And as you guys testified last year, the end of last year, about things that God has done in your lives, how the Father has provided. So on the one hand, things really look bad. But it, on the other hand, it says, arise and shine. And God has got an assignment. And our assignment are not finished. We can't sit back and say, yes, God, we've planted the church, or yes, God, I've given my life to you. Now it's full stop. It's done. There's a mandate. There's assignment for us as Christians, for us as a church. I want to end off this morning with the Apostle Paul writing here in the Acts of the Apostles. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing, for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul was a man standing basically in full-time ministry, was a tent maker, but his only thing was to preach the gospel. Many of us has jobs, and it's awesome. We need all of you guys, and that can be part of your assignment. But none of us, as was said, I think, in one of the testimonies that asked the pastor part, you can go and see in the newsletter, there's five more different ones of asking the pastor for certain types of advice or whatever it might be. I'm almost going a bit off the trail there. But we've got all the assignment, whether it's to build a house, whether it's to be a musician, an artist, a lawyer, or whatever, a doctor, whatever it might be. And God has given something upon our lives, because God, we are not just numbers living here trying to exist. God has given each person, everyone, the body of Christ, every member, every part, he has given us a calling on our life. Whether it's to be a doctor and to heal people by laying on hands, or maybe cutting by a scalpel, both are perfectly fine. But we need to be honest with ourselves about our mandate, our calling, and that one day, when you are maybe old and gray, or maybe not, you can just be in your 20s and on your deathbed, that when we go to meet the Father one day, that we can say, God, I haven't been perfect. I missed the mark many times, but I've been faithful to what you called me to. And I want to encourage you, as I started with that first scripture in Proverbs 25:2, to just, the year isn't too old yet to go and sit still at any time and ask, God, what do you have for me this year? Maybe God will lay just two or three goals, or maybe 10 or 20 on your heart for 2015. But if we don't know what we need to do or where we are going, we're going to have a tough time to meet our goals or to be obedient to God or whatever the case might be. I don't know exactly, apart from what Scripture tells us, how the New Jerusalem will look like. I don't know exactly about the 1,000-year rule of Christ and the binding of the devil and all that stuff. I don't lay awake at night trying to figure out every small detail and what and when exactly how things are going to work. But I can see from Scripture that there will come a time when it's going to be the end. And right here in the middle, friends, brothers and sisters, we've got an opportunity to stand up and say, God, use me. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be in full-time ministry in any sense. But make that choice this year, wherever you are, whatever you do, to say, Lord, use me. And that we can have an effect, an eternal effect on other people's lives regarding where they will spend eternity.
Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. We thank you, Father, that you chose us, Lord God, as vessels in jars of clay, Lord God, that we break so easily, that we lose our tempers, that we miss the mark, that we sin, Lord God, that we get things wrong and right, Lord God, that you chose us to yoke with us, Lord Jesus, to reach the nations, Lord God. And Father, we think it's now 2 millennia, Lord God, since you hang on the cross. And Father, today, Christianity, Lord God, spiritful Christians, Lord, are still going to the ends of the world to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, Lord God, that you can be glorified, Lord God. Father, for us, here in Windhoek, here in Namibia, Lord God, a tiny dot in the universe, Lord God, that you have given us an assignment and a mandate, Lord God. And Father, we will try our best, Lord God. And Father, this year we want to seek you once again, Lord God, and ask, Lord, what do you have for us? Where do we turn right or left, Lord God? That we can be obedient to what you call us, Lord God. Where we need to sit or stand or run or walk, Lord God. Father, we don't know what this year holds for us, Lord God. Lord, you know about eternity. You know about the day of tomorrow. Scripture says, Lord God, that you've got king's hands or king's hearts in your hand, Lord God. And Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, Lord God, that you will bless them, that you will guide them, Lord God. For every husband in this house, Lord God, for every elder, the small group facilitators, some of our friends still on holiday, Lord God, Lord, that you'll bring our hearts together, Lord God, we can walk in unity, Lord God, and this unfinished assignment, Lord God, that you have given to us as a church, the churches around us, and to all the churches over many centuries, Lord God, that we can run with that, Lord God, that we can be obedient to our heavenly call, Lord God, and Father, that no matter where we build or how we do it, Lord God, that we can pour out our lives as the Apostle Paul, Lord God, and yes, Lord God, be too obedient to the part of the body of Christ you have called us to, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'll strengthen our legs and our knees, Lord God. And when we grow weary or tired, Lord God, or when the storms or the winds seems to be big or dangerous, Lord God, that we won't look at the storm, but that we will look at our God, Lord. That you'll give us courage. We can study the word and see of mighty men, Lord God. We just think of the pagan people on the boat with Jonah, Lord God, who turned to you and were saved, Lord God, because they looked at you, Lord God. May we look at you very often this year, in prayer, on our knees, in good times and in bad times, Lord. We can as a family support each other, Lord God. And Lord, at the end of this year, Lord, that we can look back and say we weren't a perfect church, but we were an obedient church, Lord. We were a willing church, Lord. I pray for every wound, every aina, Lord God, that you will heal that perfectly and permanently, Lord God. Father, we look to you this year as a hope, Lord, and as words arise and shine, that it will be in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. May this be an awesome year for all of us, with its trials and tribulations. I don't have a specific altar call this morning, something where I want to call people forward for pray if you feel, but I want to extend the hand of friendship in that sense. If you've got something on your heart, something you want to pray for or be prayed for, you can turn to the person next to you. You can come to me and receive prayer. That is something God has given us. I want to encourage you. If you are trusting God, if you are praying this year, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up next year or the year after that. Keep on praying. Keep on praying for our city, for our church, for our leaders. It's so important. So friends, have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week, same time, same place. There's nice coffee and tea at the back. Spend some time fellowshipping. Ask someone how their holiday were. Are they rested? And as I said, if you feel you want to pray about something, I will remain here at the front. Have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.